Yes, thanks very much for that, Amy. You're listening to Kerry Today. Gerry O'Sullivan with you until 11 o'clock this morning. We're here with Kerry Today this morning, looking ahead to the All-Ireland Senior Football Final right across the programme. It's Kerry Colours Day on Radio Kerry. We want you to send in your pictures to us of yourself wearing your Kerry colours or any displays that you have. Get them into us. We're coming to you live from the Stables Bar and Brasserie in the Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. Five-star hotel here in Kenmare. The new Stables Bar and Brasserie, and we recently opened a fantastic facility, beautiful bar, beautiful restaurant. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the programme. Over the next 2 hours or so, we're going to be talking a lot of, as you would imagine, about Kerry versus Galway, but also I suppose about the local GAA clubs here in the area who have supplied a number of players to the Kerry senior football team. A huge couple of weeks really for the area with the Kerry ladies in the All-Ireland final against Meath on July 31st and the Kerry men's of course in the All-Ireland final on Sunday. We want your thoughts, your words on how you think the game will go this morning. Get them into us on the programme. How are you feeling as you wake up on this Friday morning? Beautiful sunshine here in Kenmare, I have to say. The forecast wasn't for it. It's meant to be getting a bit ropey from here on, but it's a lovely, glorious morning here in Kenmare, that's for sure. We'll be talking with people involved, as I say, with the local clubs. We'll talk to the local principal of the public school, Inverskena, who has had all of the Kerry involvement through his school over the last number of years. We'll be talking as well with the US ambassador to Ireland. We'll hear from her, Claire Cronin, about her visit to Valencia. It's her second time coming to Kerry. And we will also talk as well about a number of different issues. We'll be keeping an eye on the news of the day as well. AIB Bank and their decision to go cashless in 70 branches across the country, a number across the county as well, is still exercising a lot of minds. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin weighed in on that as well in the last 24 hours. So there's a lot to be played for there, a lot of political pressure coming on, so we'll see what will happen and we'll get your views if you have them for us on the programme. A number of protest meetings being organised for the county as well. So that and more to come. Going to start this morning though with thoughts about how important Kerry football is. This is Uaisí Fogarty reading from a very special poem, the late Uaisí Fogarty, of course. We think about him this weekend as well, how much he would have loved Kerry in an All-Ireland final. Have a little listen to this.
You asked what's the secret of Kerry, and often I wish that I knew. 'Twill doubtless seem odd, though born on the sod, that question has puzzled me too. You see the lad walk in the meadow as he tosses the hay without rest, and he yearns for the lengthening shadow as the sun slowly sinks in the west. Then he harks to the thud of a football, and things more important must yield. But nothing must stay in a Kerry lad's way when the ball bounces high in the field.
Yeah, there you go. That'll get you in the mood for this weekend and the mood for the All-Ireland final on Sunday. If you have any thoughts, any messages you want to send through to the Kerry team or any talks of Kerry colours, get them into us now on any of our numbers. You can WhatsApp it all to 083 300 3300. You can text on that number as well or call us on 066 7123 666. As I said, there's lots to focus on. We're going to start the programme this morning, though, by hearing from the All-Ireland, former All-Ireland winning captain, of course, former manager of Kerry, Mickey Nate O'Sullivan, who's with me here in the Stables Bar and Brasserie, the Sheen Falls Lodge. Mickey, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us on the programme.
Good morning, Gerry. Delighted to be here.
Okay, how are you feeling, first of all, as we wake up on this Friday morning ahead of what's to come on Sunday?
Well, in the Kenmare area, you're bound to, there's great excitement, great anticipation, so many players from the locality involved, and it's unprecedented for the district. So we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah,
and hopefully getting the Sam Maguire Cup back to Kenmare
would be incredible. Look, it's going to be a tall order on Sunday. This Galway team, they've been growing as the season has gone on. Every game they've kind of really been improving. They've a manager in Pádraig Joyce who knows all about it. He knows Kerry. He went to the well, it was the ITT at the time, now the MTU, part of a very successful college team there. He knows a lot of former Kerry players. He's a wily manager. He's turning into a very good manager, isn't he?
You mentioned the word growing. I think this is very relevant because a team goes through three stages of its development: the growth stage, the performance stage, and the decline. Now, I think from looking at the match on Sunday, Kerry have gone through their growth stage over the last 3 or 4 years. They've learned vital lessons from the disappointments. I think they will be far more, they have better mental resolve as a result of these disappointments. they are now in the performance stage. Whereas Galway, a team doesn't come overnight in general.
Yeah.
They are still in the growth stage. And they have made great progress from Division 2 this year into Division 1. They won the Connacht Championship. But I think this is a step too far for them because of the what you mentioned.
They where they are along the road, that
they
journey
are,
of a team.
They're still in the growth stage, and maybe next year or the year after.
We'll be hoping that's the case anyway on Sunday. Mickey, you talked there about, I suppose, the local involvement. You've been hugely involved in Kenmare GAA for years, for all your life. There was a period where we didn't have a Kerry Minor or a Kerry Senior for a long time. There was we had obviously the huge tradition coming from Temple Knowe from the time when the Golden Years team was there. But you know, what have you seen? What is it about the development of football in the area that has led to this? Part of it's cyclical, part of it's players coming through, but the other thing is, I suppose, the work that's done underage.
I think it's the structure of the clubs in the area. They have great people involved at underage and great coaches at underage and have helped nurture. The families of these players have provided great support as well. But I think above all was Publiscull Inverskena, the local secondary school, where, forgive me for picking out one person, but Tom Connor, when he retired, he volunteered to go in and organise football.
Yeah.
He's now in his 80s, and he's still, I think he has been instrumental in a big way in bringing about this change.
Yeah, and Tom, former Kerry selector as well, of course, on All-Ireland winning teams, and gave hugely of his time to set up those structures, get the school going, and the joining of the two schools years ago, you had the Tech and you had the old secondary school, joined them together. It had an impact there.
Yes.
It had an impact.
It has an enormous impact. But then again, the players themselves must take responsibility for their own development as well and the sacrifices they have made over the last the last 10 years to get to where they are.
Yeah, absolutely huge. Look, the buzz around the place is amazing. There'll be huge numbers of people looking to head up to the final, I suppose, Mickey, and try and get back in there. You mentioned there the last couple of years and the journey they've been on. In 2019, Kerry came very close against Dublin. Went to a replay against, you know, the greatest team probably that's ever played, given the six in a row. That, I suppose, learning is important. Will that help them on Sunday, I suppose, as they're into another Ireland final?
You see, what happens now is they have the experience. The build-up for players for an All-Ireland final is very important, that they stay in the bubble and they stay in the zone and they don't get tied up with the euphoria and the excitement of the locality. They have learned how to keep in the zone as a result of the last experience of the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, one of the key things, I suppose, is how the defence has performed, I suppose, and it seems to be gone to another level this year, particularly with the number of turnovers they managed to effect against Dublin.
I think the Kerry defence has improved enormously. They've only conceded 3 goals in the entire championship, and it's going to be a very defensive game next Sunday. I think the very, very low scoring first half. Start of the second half will be low scoring, and then it will open up. And I think Kerry have the forwards and the football and the experience to take it over the line in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Team selection will be a key thing, Mickey, for the game. It's hard to know. We're all waiting, I suppose, to find out if Gavin White is okay or not. It's very competitive. Like, it's hard to judge exactly how the team will line up because, you know, in the games we've had our subs coming on, they've done really well. So there'll be a bit of a conundrum there for Jack O'Connor and his team.
They'll probably go to try it and test it to start with, but we have an exceptional bench, and these are the people that will bring it over the line in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, key thing. Stay with me on the line. We also have, of course, Martin Lean, who is of the chair of the Kerry Supporters Club, with us on the line. Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning to Mickey Nid and all the Kerry supporters all over the country this morning and all over the county and the world. Beautiful morning.
It's a huge...
You're preparing for the All-Ireland final.
It's a huge weekend, Martin. There's club draws been happening for the tickets. People still scrambling around for tickets. There's been a huge demand for train tickets in particular. Irish Rail putting on an extra train. I know there's a huge number of buses going up and all of that. So everyone's trying to get there by hook or by crook this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. After the final whistle blew in Croke Park there 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago now, the Roche staff to get tickets and organise transport, you know, which is a serious thing as well. People don't want to be taking cars, you know, don't want to go by coach or by train. But I suppose this time of the year is an exceptionally busy time in this county. At this time of the year in July, we don't normally have an All-Ireland final in July. But look, if we can win it on Sunday, we don't care what month it is in, as long as it's won by Kerry. But it is a busy time for bus operators and all that. You know, they have tours organised, and especially after COVID, there was people, you know, weren't any for 2 years. So the whole thing is kicked off in the VBA. But look, hopefully that everybody will get to Croke Park and get there safe and well. You know, that's the most important thing, and we can get a victory on the day.
Yeah, that certainly is the case. It's been challenging, very challenging this year. Like you mentioned there, it's in July. A lot of people do have work. It's the height of the tourism season, but also the idea of people who are trying to maybe stay up in Dublin, the hotel room prices, the cost of diesel, petrol. It's all been an extra kind of complication for Kerry fans. But at the same time, you're not seeing that reflected in the demand you're getting for places, Martin, or the demand on tickets.
No, that doesn't seem to be. No, I suppose, look, it's 2014 since we won in All-Ireland, you know, and 2019 was Kerry's last appearance in All-Ireland final. So, you know, in 2014, you had somebody who was only 12 years of age. They're now moving on again, you know, 20, 21 years of age, and they haven't been in All-Ireland. So you've all that group who want to be in Croke Park, that age group, plus all the rest as well. But it isn't an issue. But I suppose staying in Dublin, it was always a thing that a lot of people stayed from Kerry in Dublin the Saturday they have in All-Ireland, you know. That seems to have, I won't say everything, everybody is not, a lot of people haven't stayed there, but it has drifted backwards now, to be honest about it, because of costs. That's the main thing, costs in Dublin. I'm trying to get accommodation. A lot of hotel accommodation has been taken up by other issues, you know, so hotels are scarce in Dublin, and what's there now are very expensive. So people are probably, that's why the coach demand and the train demand is so great at the minute, because they're not, the people haven't stayed in Dublin, you know.
Yeah, is that, do you think that's feeding into, like, people were having to sit on the Irish Rail website for days trying to make sure they'd get in, the tickets would go, if capacity was increased, tickets would go straight away. That's reflective of, I suppose, what the challenges are out there for fans to get to the game.
Oh, absolutely. It was a huge challenge. Like, you know, it's still going on. People are still ringing, like, trying to get on a bus or get on a train or get to know how to get to Croke, how to get to Dublin on Sunday. You know, it's a big challenge for people. You know, you'd imagine, like, with this day and age, like, that Ian Rory Adam should have more trains, like, coming from a county where there's big demand, that they should be diverted to this county and try and get people up there, you know, with ease, but not with trouble or hassle and trying to get there, you know. Make the trip as simple as possible for people. But it hasn't worked out that way, you know. So, look, everyone, hopefully, that wants to go, we'll be there, you know, on Sunday. So that's the important thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. How are you feeling yourself about the game? A lot of people wake up in a different morning, they feel a different way from the night before about how it'll go. But what are your thoughts, Martin?
Look, the Kerry have come through the mill. They got a tough game off of Dublin. You know, they had a game off of Mayo as well. Okay, they're not easy enough winners. We'd be confident enough, like, that we should have a bit to spare at the end of the day, you know. Galway are a good team. They have ticked all the boxes. They've taken out two Ulster teams on the way to the final, and they've won their provincial title as well. They're coming in as provincial winners. Look, any Galway team have to be respected. I'm sure every supporter and management team and players, they'll all respect Galway as well, you know. But I think we should have enough by a couple of points to come out on top Sunday evening.
Yeah, certainly will. Well, listen, Martin, look, thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry,
just
one other thing there I would like to...
Yes.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Sorry, there's just one other thing I would point out to supporters who are travelling there the weekend. I've had a couple of incidents there where people have been pickpocketed there on transport, public transport in Dublin. Just to be careful, you know, especially in the Loose and coming in from the Loose into the city, that these guys don't take Sundays off. They are around watching people coming in there. So just be careful with your valuables and make sure that you don't lose anything.
That's a key message. Have your wits about you wherever you are this weekend, and be mindful of that. Martin, thanks so much, and look, good luck at the weekend, and thanks for talking to us in the programme.
No problem, Jerry. Thanks a million. Thank you.
There you go, Martin Lean there of the Kerry Supporters Club. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme on 0667123666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. My thanks to Martin, and my thanks also to Mickey Nero Sullivan for coming in. Mickey, thanks a million, and good luck this weekend.
Okay.
Enjoy it.
Looking forward to it.
Fingers crossed. That's Mickey Nilo Sullivan with us on in the Stables Bar and Brasserie here in the Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. Martin Lean, Kerry Supporters Club as well. If you've a view on what they had to say, your own thoughts for this morning, then do get in touch with us on the programme. We'll be talking a number of different things. We'll be hearing from the US Ambassador to Ireland. We're going to hear from some of the local clubs in the area to come on the programme as well. That and more on the way, and we'll have a preview of the game as well. We'll be hearing from former All-Ireland winners Killian Burns and Sean O'Sullivan as well. That and a whole lot more to come over the next 2 hours here on Kerry Today. We'll get to a bit of that and more after we take these.
Kerry Today All-Ireland Special, live from the new Stables, Brasserie and Bar at Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. The ideal spot for any occasion, with casual dining, a terrace and big screen TV. SheenFallsLodge.ie.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to the Kerry Today programme coming to you live on an outside broadcast from the Stables Bar and Brasserie in the Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. If you've any views, get them into us on the programme on any of our numbers this morning. An 8-year-old gentleman complained that it was not only the banks who had gone cashless, but also the GAA. When our caller inquired if he could purchase a ticket at the gate for a local match between Kishgame and Bandon this evening, this is in Cork, of course, he was informed he would have to book online. Well, that has been an issue, all right. It has been talked about as well. We've mentioned that on the programme. The way the world is going cashless indeed, including GAA with their ticket sales. I didn't realise it was gone to that level of club football. That's in Cork, of course. That all relates, of course, to the decision by AIB. The Central Bank of Ireland has said vulnerable customers should have full access to basic banking services. That's in a statement following the decision by AIB to turn cashless in 70 branches. The regulator said it expects banks to consider carefully the impact of its decisions with a consumer-focused approach. Now, the way you look at the banks, and it's not just AIB, all banks seem to be going less consumer-focused with their approach. And there's a question about the central bank and its role in protecting consumers over our financial institutions. I wonder about that. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin stepping in yesterday evening, obviously coming under pressure from the backlash, not just within his own party, but across the political spectrum in relation to the move by the banks, saying he's seeking a meeting with AIB bosses after calling on the bank to reconsider its decision to remove cash facilities at the branches. We'll have to watch this one closely and see where it goes from here, because it certainly is creating a lot of ripples and a lot of people very upset. A lot of people shocked, I think, by it as well, from the people I've been speaking about as well. That's Micheál Martin speaking on his journey to the Far East, touching down in Singapore, where he made those comments about what AIB have done. But if you have a view on that, what you think needs to happen, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. We want to hear from you on the programme. Now, the Valencia lecture takes place today. This is coming on the huge news of the opening of the new interactive centre that's there, and also the news that it has been placed, telecommunications station there has been placed on the tentative list, which is a pre-requirement for the ultimate and eventual hope of being put on the major list, of course, which is what they are looking for in Valencia in relation to a UNESCO World Heritage Site. One of those who will be speaking as part of the lecture is the US Ambassador to Ireland, Claire Cronin. I spoke to her, and I first of all asked her, before talking about, I suppose, Valencia, I also asked her about what it's been like since she took over as the US Ambassador to Ireland.
Well, first and foremost, I have absolutely loved the time I've spent here. I'm getting close to the 6-month mark. From the moment I arrived here, I received an incredibly warm welcome from everyone I've met along the way. And certainly, as we all know, the relationship between the United States and Ireland is strong. It's based on our strong ancestral ties. But then we continue our relationship. If our ancestral ties are the foundation, our trade and investment are the glue that holds us together. So my job when I come here is to do everything I can to increase the ties between our two countries, increase our trade and investment, increase our people-to-people ties. And throughout that, and I'm doing that by getting all around the island. I made a pledge that I wanted to, before I go home for a little summer vacation, I want to hit all 26 counties and perhaps the north as well. And thus far, I've hit 22 counties in Ireland, and continuing on a path that I think I'm going to meet that goal before I head home in August.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, that connection that's there and is being celebrated, and the good news coming through about Valencia being placed on the tentative list for World Heritage status, that kind of underlines, I suppose, the issue of progress, the role that Ireland played in telecommunications, uniting the old world, I suppose, with the new.
Sure. And it's certainly very significant, without a doubt. The topic of the Valencia lecture series that I'll be speaking on tomorrow is on globalization, our interconnected and interdependent world, and certainly the connections were established in Valencia, and it's really exciting that the application to become a UNESCO World Heritage Site is certainly exciting. Both for the area and just for your country as well.
Yeah. How do you see where the Irish-American relationship is now? We're talking about telecommunications and that cable that was laid all those years ago, but for many years before that, there had been very strong human links there through the waves of emigration from Ireland to America. How do you see it today, especially given, I suppose, the very strong and deep business links that there are with major American corporations locating themselves here?
Sure, and that's certainly the case, but I think I like to refer to it as a two-way street. Ireland's foreign direct investment in the United States was $240 billion in 2020. If you think about that, that's over 110,000 jobs directly created in the United States by Irish investment. On the same token, there are 900 U.S. companies who have established a presence in Ireland, and that investment is over $390 billion. So while Ireland, when you think about it, and pardon the boxing analogy, but I do come from Brockton, Massachusetts, city of champions, home to boxing's Rocky Marciano and marvelous Marvin Hagler. But what I always say is that Ireland is punching above its weight, and certainly that's the case. When you think of it, a country of 5 million people could be the ninth largest investor in the United States. It's outstanding.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me, actually.
Astonishing. And have you learned a lot about why that has happened since you've come here, or about the nature of our links to the United States?
Sure. Well, certainly, we always talk about the ancestral ties. They're strong, they're enduring. But we continue to build upon that with our trade and investment. But there are other things as well. One of the things this year, we have been working incredibly hard at the embassy to issue the J-1 visas. You know, this year we issued, I believe, over 6,000 for the summer. And, you know, I always kind of tell the funny story. My sister-in-law came to the United States, not on a J-1, but on a Donnelly visa, and met my brother. And, you know, it's a happily ever after story for them. So I always kind of promote that when I have the high school students come in and visit us.
Fantastic. No, listen, I'm hearing you're big into sports. You were the sports editor of your college newspaper. You're a big basketball fan.
I love all sports, all day. And yes, coming from Boston, but that's another thing I can say I've loved about my time in Ireland. I love the passion for sports here. It's absolutely unbelievable. But who told you that I was a...
We've sources everywhere. We've sources everywhere. And
you're not going back to my college friend.
Well, I was going to ask you. You were at the Kerry Dublin game 2 weeks ago. You're going to the All Ireland final on Sunday. I know there was obviously a lot of passion around the Celtics this year, and also I know a couple of years ago with the Boston Red Sox. Would you liken the passion in Boston with the passion of Kerry football fans?
I would liken it, but I will tell you something that I've been telling I had some house guests and I was saying it. So I have spent, you know, my whole life going to Boston Celtics games, Red Sox games. I'm an avid college football fan. My daughter went to Notre Dame, so we are crazy Notre Dame football fans. Now, if you look at the stadium at Notre Dame, close to 80,000 people.
Yeah.
The decibel level in Croke Park is much higher.
Really?
I have no doubt. And I love that about it.
Yeah, because college sports in America, you have 110,000 in some of those stadiums.
Yeah. I mean, probably the largest. Well, I've been in Gillette Stadium, but not for a Patriots game. I mean, Notre Dame, I think, has about 80,000, and it gets loud there, but nothing was as loud as Croke Park last week, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, and are you expecting the same on Sunday?
Absolutely. Very excited. So you've got a lot of, you've got some good sports teams in Kerry, both the men and the women.
Yeah, two All-Irelands to look forward to over next weekend. No, you're a diplomat by trade, so I'm not expecting you to say whether you want Galway or Kerry to win, I suppose.
Well, I let's put it this way. My daughter's name is Kerry, and my grandmother's family came from Galway, so it could be tough either way. I'd like to root for the underdog, though.
Yes, okay.
But I won't even say that on the phone.
We're going to call Kerry the underdogs, whether they are with the bookies or not, heading into this weekend. Hopefully, it'll bring us all the luck.
I think it'd be hard for us to call Kerry an underdog.
Mm. Is it your first time coming to Kerry?
No, my second time. It will be my first time in Valencia Island, but my second time to County Kerry.
Okay. Well, listen, Ambassador, enjoy it. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us on the program this morning.
Absolutely. Nice chatting with you, Derry. Take care.
There you go. That's Claire Cronin, the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Ireland, who's heading to Valencia today for the Valencia lecture. Eddie Hobbs will be giving part of the lecture as well. Key moment, key weekend as well on that one. If you have a view for us on that, get in touch with us on the show on 0667123666. We're live from the Stables Bar in Brasserie, Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. Looking ahead to Kerry versus Galway on Sunday. We'll be hearing from the Kenmare Shamrocks Club. We'll be hearing from Temple Noh. We'll be hearing from former All-Ireland winners Killian Burns and Sean O'Sullivan with their views on the game. We'll have a word from Galway and a Galway man who's been in Kerry for many years now. We'll talk about that too as well. That and more to come on Kerry Today.
Kerry Today All-Ireland Special, live from the new Stables, Brasserie and Bar at Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. The ideal spot for any occasion, with casual dining, a terrace and big screen TV. SheenFallsLodge.ie.
Well, it's going to be a tough game because Galway haven't won in 21 years, I think. So each team are hungry, but I think Kerry have that better class. I do think that.
Yeah, that's brilliant stuff. That is from Virgin Media News last night. Paul Byrne was down in Kenmare and Killarney doing a features package for Kerry, and he caught up with Jack O'Sullivan, young Jack O'Sullivan, and he's causing a stir. He's gone viral this morning because of his clear ability at cold-eyed analysis of what's at stake on Sunday. Pat Spillane is retiring this weekend, so I think we have a ready replacement here in Kenmare for the Sunday game. That's what everyone is saying as well. So check it out. We'll put it up on our social media as well. So well done to Jack this morning. If you have a view for us on any of that, get in touch with us on the programme on 0667123666. A young man who knows what he's talking about when it comes to football. Now, I'm going to talk to a number of people here, and of course there's a huge buzz. There's huge involvement over the next two weekends from local clubs in the area in Croke Park in All-Ireland Finals. We have, of course, seven in total. It was six players and panel members, of course. We have an extended panel member as well, Donal O'Sullivan from Kilgarvan. We have the Kinmare contingent. We have the Temple Noh contingent as well. We have Julie O'Sullivan, who's in Inverskena Gaels, and we'll be hearing from Inverskena Gaels, the ladies' club here as well, in the next hour, involved in All Ireland senior. So it's clear, as you've been hearing all morning, the buzz and the excitement is at fever pitch here in Kinmare. One of the reasons why we're here in the Stables Bar and Brasserie in Sheen Falls Hotel in Kinmare. And speaking of that, we've a couple of comments coming in here. Kenmare Regatta takes place at the pier tomorrow, and people wanted to congratulate as well and talk about Isla O'Neill, who represents Kenmare Rowing Club and Ireland at the Junior World Rowing Championships in Italy next week. Plenty of supporters making their way out to Italy next week after the regatta this weekend. And Sheen Falls are great supporters of the Kenmare Rowing Club and sponsors of medals and pennants for the regatta as well. And someone from the club got in touch with us as well this morning just to offer sympathy to the family and friends of Brendan Teehan, Cremon Rowing Club, and all of that. So there you go. That's thoughts with the Teehan family as well this morning. But huge things to look forward for to as well for Isla O'Neill, who's a brilliant footballer too, to boot, to beat it all. But listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about the game and about the Kenmare Shamrocks Club and Public School Inverskena, the local school here in Kenmare, because they've got Dermot Healy, principal of Public School Inverskena. We've Kenmare Shamrocks GAA's secretary Alan Sheedy, and also former chairperson Andy O'Sullivan. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for joining me here in the Stables Bar in Brasserie.
Morning, Johnny.
Dermot, I'll start with you. You've had, I suppose, Julie O'Sullivan, you've had Donal O'Sullivan, you've had the Temple Knowe lads, the Kenmare lads, all going through the school over the last number of years. What's it been like, I suppose? Have you seen their development and seen it, I suppose, at the school's teams as well, at first and foremost?
Yeah, we have. It's been brilliant, and we're all excited. It's a pity it's not September. There'd be more excitement around. but any time you're in an All-Ireland final and the school has students involved, and as you said, seven in the men's senior and one in the ladies, it's brilliant for the school, it's brilliant for the community, and I think everyone's excited, and you can feel it as you walk down the street. Even though the school is empty, you can feel it in the school as well, but it's brilliant. It's just where we want to be.
There's been an explosion through all sports. Well, basketball has come up. Yeah. Sport has become a major part since the two schools amalgamated, and the development over the years that you've been doing well on a national level at a number of different sports. That goes to work of teachers and volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I started 2001, it's a long time ago, but and the schools came together. We had great foundations from both schools to start off with, but we just developed, and we had great teachers in there that gave their, it was all teachers at that stage. But as it evolved, I suppose we had to go outside, and we've been very lucky. I heard Mickey Ned mention Tom O'Connor already. Some of the lads that are sitting opposite me here recommended Tom O'Connor to me, I think, in 2010. And we were lucky to get him. He brought a new science to football in the school. The first thing he wanted was a physio. Yeah. I mean, normally we operated school football teams we had three or four footballs and a set of jerseys. And so it brought it to a different level. But all sports, you said, from athletics to basketball, even horse riding and stuff like
rowing
that.
There was everything. Rowing, yeah.
And Ayla, going to Italy, well done. It's a fantastic achievement for her. And but it's been great. And I think the outside coaches brought a new dimension to it and brought it to a different level, and hence brought the success as well with it. But look, they had great foundations. The clubs locally did great underage structures. They came into us at the age of 12 or 13, but most of the work was done at that stage, and we just harnessed it all together, I hope, as a school. And it's brilliant, and I hope we bring Sam back, because there'll be some celebrations in the school if we do.
There certainly will be. I'm going to go next to a man who's been under pressure. The club draw was last night. Kerry, Kenmare Shamrocks GAA Secretary Alan Sheedy. Alan, you're looking a bit worn out from it all, but listen, look, it's brilliant. It's brilliant for the club. Talk to me, I suppose, what it's been like, the build-up has been like for the club.
Gosh, Jerry, it's been massive. The request for tickets from members has been unprecedented. Thankfully, we were able to satisfy all the requests, and great work with the committee and my fellow officers. It's been massive, I suppose, with all the local players and so on, there's huge family connections, historical connections, players, the lads from Temple Low and Kenmare and Donald from Kilgavin, there are generations of footballers, and families that, the buzz is just unreal,
Yeah. And from that level of the club, if you go back to the last maybe 10, 15 years, it's been a steady progress. You have the talent, natural talent coming through, first of all, but the work that's been done under eight. So it's been a huge effort.
100%. I suppose going back 10 or so years, I can remember I was involved with the under 14 district team at the time, the likes of Gavin Crowley and that age group. And those boys they got through to the district under 14 county final, the 16 county final, the minor county final, the 21 county final. You know, all those, that age group, you could see that there was something brewing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just great, and hopefully they'll do the business on Sunday.
Fingers crossed. We've got Andy O'Sullivan with us as well, former chairman of the club. Andy, you've seen the progression of, I suppose, the players that are now, the teams that have come up, and the work that's been done. What do you put it down to, I suppose, to get things to where they are now?
I suppose, Joy, I came to live in Kilmare in the end of 1974 when Kilmare had district had won a county senior football championship. But what the first thing that struck me about it, having arrived in Kilmare at that time, was the vibrant underage success in Kerry. I had lived in three or four different counties and worked in, for a number of years before I came to Kerry, and that was the one thing that struck me, is the underage competitions. Well, Bord and Oak had been set up in Kerry in 1968, I think. And it didn't surprise me that the success in Kerry was already well established, and that Bord and Oak and the underage structures in Kerry had contributed enormously to that. Just to reference something that had been already referred to, is that over the next 2 weekends, it's going to be an historical time for Kilmare District. We'll have 8 people involved with Kerry teams, 7 from the district on this Sunday on the Kerry panel, and the following Sunday with the Inverskena Gaels represented by Julia O'Sullivan. But interesting thing about it, it's a very historic weekend for Kerry, this one. There are 6 players from Kenmare Parish, 2 clubs, Templenoe and Kenmare, on a Kerry panel, and 1 from Kilgarvan. That's unprecedented, and you refer to the school work there with Dermot already. The culture in the school, the sports culture in the school, is vital to a lot of that. All of the people I've referred to already have gone through public school in Roscana, and the fruits of that work are now being seen.
Yeah.
And it can't be understated, and it shouldn't be underestimated either.
Yeah, certainly not. Andy, you've been involved in Kerry GAA as well through various positions for years as a delegate and all of that. Look, the Kerry team that have come, they've come through disappointments, losing out in 2019. They won in 2014, but before that they were challenged at different stages by different phases of football, different styles of football, and then you had the Dublin machine which came through and dominated for years. But the one thing about Kerry football is it may face challenges, it'll have success, it'll have the odd lull, but they seem to be able to go away, we go away as a county and recalibrate and come up with the answers, which I suppose has us back in Northern Ireland final.
I suppose 2014 is the last success, and the intervening period is would be regarded as a famine in Kerry.
Yeah.
But I think a point that I would like to make is that the game with Dublin, the psychological advantages accruing from that game are immeasurable, and I think they could stand very much to Kerry's benefit on Sunday. I don't think it should be underestimated that Kerry faced a challenge and they overcame it.
Yeah, and that's the key thing when you talk about it.
And it is a key thing, yeah.
The learning from that, the psychological side of it as well is very important. You're talking about it, Mickey and Aid mentioned earlier on, performance is the key thing. And a lot of that, when you go through the training and the muscle memory and the experiences, is, I suppose, upstairs, in the heads of the players.
It's immeasurable, the advantage that can accrue from that. Like, it's a cliche, the monkey off the back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Dermot, look, there's a huge buzz for this weekend. A lot of people travelling up for the game. I know you're going up on Sunday morning yourself. Everyone's trying to get to it. There's been a lot of challenges in that as well, in terms of fans trying to get their trains, everyone trying to do whatever they can to make it to Croke Park.
Yeah, I'm sure it's part and parcel of it, isn't it? It's great, yeah. A few more trains would have been helpful, all right, or planes at this stage.
If anyone from Irish Rail is listening, another train or 10 would do the job.
Yeah, but that's all part of All-Ireland build-up, isn't it? And look, I just want to say, look, best of luck to all our players and to their parents and grandparents and relatives as well. I'm sure it's a very nervous time for all of those, like, you know, but look, we're all excited and up the kingdom, and hopefully, as I said, we'll bring it back on Sunday. I'm a bit nervous. I know some people are saying they're optimistic and stuff like that, but Yeah, I hope they got
a final's a final.
A final's a final. Anything can happen.
And
yeah,
Whitehawk, Galway have a tradition of winning finals whenever
from
they get
nowhere,
from
as
schools
well, yeah.
or from whatever. So we'll keep a watching brief on how it all goes over the next while. Look, if you've got a view on it, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. We'll be talking in the next hour with Inverskeena Gaels, the ladies' club. We'll talk with Temple No GA Club as well. We'll be hearing from Killian Burns and Sean O'Sullivan, their view on how things go. The teams, by the way, announced tonight. The team announced tonight at 8 o'clock, or maybe a little bit earlier, hopefully in time for our live special All-Ireland programme. We'll talk a bit more about that as well coming up, so stay tuned for that. The coverage continuing. Don't forget, it's Kerry Colours Day here on Radio Kerry. We want you to send in your pictures, email into us, colours@radiokerry.ie, WhatsApp them into us as well, 083 300 3300. Show us your colours. I hope you're wearing your colours across the county to give the support to the players and to the Kerry team as they head into battle. My thanks to the lads for coming in this morning, to the Stables Baron Brasserie, Andy O'Sullivan, Alan Sheedy, and also Dermot Healy, Principal of Public School Inverskeena. We'll talk more on Kerry today after we take these.
It's almost 10 o'clock. Noyx Newman's Tralee. A great excuse to change your kitchen.
It's Noyx Newman's Kitchen Scores Day.
If you have a view for us on the show, get in touch. Lots of people still very exercised about the situation in the banks. And Knock the Gosh listener contacts us this morning. Some elderly people or people with disabilities don't have any bank cards anymore due to the fear of scams. They go to the bank in person to take their money out. What are they going to do now? It is a disgrace. If I'm going to the bank and I have 20 euro, I want to put it into my account. I don't have a card. I don't want one. It's going to make scams a lot worse, this listener feels. Banking at the post office doesn't work for everyone because we have to have a card to go to the post office. We're tied in at every corner. No bank in Abbeyfield, Castle Island. Will it go in Listowel or Tralee next? I think the government needs to stand up and be accountable. There's been very strong words issued by a number of our politicians. The central bank are getting involved. The Taoiseach is getting involved as well. We'll have to wait and see whether the decision will be paused or perhaps maybe reversed following requested meetings. Now, the heads of AIB have been asked to a meeting by Micheál Martin. I imagine they will acquiesce to that, and we'll see what happens out of that. If you have a view for us, get in touch with us on the show, 066 712 3666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. We want to hear from you on the programme this morning. It's Kerry Colours Day here on Radio Kerry. We want you to show your colours, to send them into us by our social media channels. Text or WhatsApp them into us as well on 083 300 3300. And with that in mind, we have Kerry's Full Breakfast presenter Andrew Morrissey with us on the line from somewhere in Kerry. Andrew, good morning to you.
Morning, Gerry, again. What's happening?
Listen, I just have to credit you. I was watching an Instagram post of yourself and poor Alan Finn. Alan Finn, the Galway man working here at Radio Kerry. You had your Cork jersey on. I feel sorry for anyone in a Cork jersey, but it's a tough job. We're out there asking you to talk about Kerry colours. We have to admit that this morning and say fair play to you for putting things aside.
Well, I'll be married in October, so does that count as being half a Kerry man? Do I get half a passport, yeah, or how does that work? Or
we're tying you in further with each passing day, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I tell you now, right, I'm sitting here in the middle of the square in Tralee. I'm actually in my Kerry colours, I'm in my green and gold or whatever, but I just went for a stroll, right, and I made a note of some of the bits because there's flags and there's hats and there's everything everywhere, right? So I came around the corner by our neighbours there in the Ash Hotel, and they've lovely bunting outside in their outside area. And then I turned down onto Rock Street and I saw Kelleher's, they have flags up all outside, and Garvey Super Valley all upside, and the Shebeen Pub and the Brogue, they're all flying high there, the bunting and the flags. I actually went into Garvey Super Valley, this is a bit of a public service announcement as well, because we had a text this morning wondering, are the car flags available? Well, I can tell you now, yes, they are. I was in Garvey Super Value in Tralee. They have a huge stand there with loads of bits inside. So shout out to the Garvey staff. They have loads of them inside as well. I went down, I took a down through the Mall then, and there's all places like Walsh Brothers Shoes have all their flags out, and CH Chemist, Penny's, the Mall Tavern. They all have all their bits up as well. The place is looking great. And then I'm here in the square now where I'm looking at Subway and Carnoge and the Fiddler, and around me Card World and Burnsworth and the Barbers and Christina's Cafe. They all have their flags out as well. And as I was kind of looking down Denny Street then as well, and even all the town bits all across, Gerry, the flags are up, and there's just bunting across all of the roads. It looks great, in fairness. And Ash Street as well is absolutely covered, and I just popped into John Doe's there and I got myself a coffee, and they have their green and gold. So the place has been well supported, Gerry. And I have to say, like, if you weren't from Kerry and had no idea what the All-Ireland football final is, it looks amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's incredible the amount of work that's been done, the buzz that's there. Because Kerry's been criticised in the past, you know, through the years of success, Andrew, that, you know, not getting, or accused of not getting that excited or not displaying the colours. I think that's been put to bed this year.
I think so too. And like, we saw your pictures this morning on our WhatsApp from Kenmare, and Clodagh was in Rathmore, and Rathmore is looking really well. And I was in Killarney last week, and that place is buzzing with green and gold as well. Listowel is looking really well too, I must say. And even out around Dingle, of course, Paul Ganey and Tom Sullivan and the lads, and Breena Burgh, even Gaeltacht, the, like, out around West is looking great as well. And it just, look, you need to get it up. And I must say, just, you know, because we're tight for time here, I know you need to go, right? But I will just say this, outside Austin Stack Park as well, well done to the Kerry County Board, Gerry, because that place has looked incredible for the last 10 days or 2 weeks or so, before the Dublin game. They have the bunting up across there, and to everybody who's made those kind of billboards, like for the various clubs, like I saw one yesterday for all the lads down around Juno this morning in Kenmare and Temple Low and so on, and even our own club Austin Stacks have a great sign up, you know, wishing Joe and the lads good luck as well, and Jacko and Greg and Dylan and all, and there's nine Tralee players in the team. There's another one of those signs. Those signs look great, and it's brilliant, and credit to everybody who's kind of gotten on board with the Kerry colours. And obviously, as you said there, Gerry, we're encouraging everybody to get their green and gold on today, and no matter where they are, they can send us in the pictures, they can email in the pictures, but just get it on. And look, the sun is shining, green and gold is out, people are in great form.
Yeah, they certainly are. Andrew, listen, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for talking to me this morning from the Square in Tralee. Andrew Morrissey, Kerry's Full Breakfast presenter, talking to us, and we'll be coming to you live from various parts of the county, reporting on the colour situation right across the day today. So make sure to tune in to all of our programmes all across the day. Our Kerry Colours competition running, of course, all this week. All-Ireland tickets to be given away there. Don't forget, tonight in the Glen Eagle, the back bar, backstage bar in the Glen Eagle, an All-Ireland special preview programme. Tim Moynihan will be in situ. Ivan Hurley will be there as well, and they'll be talking to former All-Ireland winners, managers, players, and a whole lot, getting the build-up. And they'll be looking very closely and attentively at the moment when the Kerry team will be announced. So make sure to tune into that on Radio Kerry this evening. Continue our coverage ahead of Kerry and Galway in the All-Ireland football final. Keep your views, comments and opinions coming into us on the programme on 0667 123 666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Lots of people getting in touch on a number of different issues as well this morning. Lots of congratulations, best wishes coming through for the Kerry teams as well. But we're going to talk a little bit now about Galway, or rather a Galway man living in Kerry. Cathal Walsh, of course, lives in Killarney, grew up in Galway, known for a lot of different reasons, but known as well especially for the Ring of Kerry cycle here in the county. He's with me on the line, and his son Enda, a proud Killarney Legion man, Kerry all the way, is with us on the line. So good morning to both of you, and thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning.
Good morning, Gerry.
Cathal, good morning to you. Listen, what's it been like for you for the last 2 weeks?
I'm getting caught up in the excitement, Gerry, and you know, I have huge respect for Kerry and Kerry football, and if my late wife, who passed away almost 2 years ago, was alive today, I would have extra opposition in the house. So she had fierce time for Ger Power, and back in those days, Talaid, then the Gooch came along, and then James E. O'Donoghue came along, and those were her heroes. Despite it being a team effort, she always seemed to pick out one outstanding player. So as a result of that, I have huge respect for Kerry and for Kerry football.
Yeah, you have indeed. But look, you could counter and talk about the greats of Galway of years gone by, and of course Pádraic Joyce, who's the link back to 98 and 2001 with this current team, Cathal.
Yeah, and we've been saying all week and over the past 2 weeks since Galway beat Derry that every game they went into this year, they were the underdogs. And when we think that they confined Derry to 6 points in almost 80 minutes of football, and 4 points of that came in the first half, that I think the Galway defence has improved, and from game to game, this Galway team are shaping up well in defence, and I think Kerry defence, they play both a similar type of football, and I'm looking forward to a great game on Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant stuff. Enda, good morning to you. Listen, you weren't swayed by your father growing up. You were Kerry and Killarney Legion all the way.
No, God, no, Gerry. I think I was born in 1975, and of course that was the start of the Kerry Golden Year, so we were I grew up in a time when Kerry winning All Ireland was a given, and I think that might have shaped me more than Galway. I don't think Galway won any All Ireland in that period. So I'm born in Clarny, and I'm Kerry born and bred.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Look, what's the build up been like for you, I suppose, over the last couple of weeks, and how are you feeling now this morning ahead of the game?
It's been very exciting. I'd be feeling confident enough now. You know, I think beating Dublin has been a huge thing for Kerry, but I think we shouldn't underestimate Galway either, because they have good quality in their forward line and a good midfield, and the way they're defending, they have a nice system, style of play defending. So we'll have to be at our best to win it. I wouldn't be as confident as some Kerry people are. I think some are overconfident. I think we have to work hard. I think we have to play hard, and I think I've no doubt that Jack O'Connor will have the lads well tooled in. Jack knows well that Galway will be a hard team to beat, and that they have to be at their best. And I think they'll be at their best. I think I have great faith in the team. And I think if Kerry play 100%, I think they'll win.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. Like, Galway are a side under a guy who knows how to win All-Irelands, who's brought them over the last couple of years up to another standard. And, like, as I was talking to someone during, they were saying, look, Galway have a tradition of winning finals. If you go to even their school's level, they know how to win finals. They have a tradition of it.
Yeah, they have a pedigree, there's no doubt. And I even think back to NURIG winning the Sigerson this year, you know. They played Tralee IT over again, and I thought they were very impressive that night as well. So there is a pedigree of football there, and I don't think Kerry should take it lightly. And I honestly don't think they will, because I know the players are very focused, and I know Jack knows what it takes to win in All-Ireland. So they'll have to be at their best, but I do think they will be at their best. I do expect them to show up, and if they do, I think they'll win. But I would say by no more than 4 to 5 points, if they do.
If they do, yeah, if they do at all. Okay, another listener gets in touch with us this morning and says, listen, Kerry, hopefully you're going to do it, but echoing your words, saying, look, Galway are going to provide a serious challenge and could go all the way down to the wire. Cathal, have you been getting a lot of stick over the last week?
Oh, I have, yeah, because people were wondering where my allegiance lay, but I have no doubt I'm Galway through and through, bred, born and reared in the city of Galway, and I love that maroon jersey. I absolutely love it. And we've been starved. I came to Kerry in 1966. That was the last of the three in a row for Galway. I had to wait until 1980 for a hurling All-Ireland win. And then we had the footballers coming through in 98 and 2001. And I reckon very unlucky in the year 2000. I remember Derek Savage had the ball. Pádraig Joyce was waiting inside for the pass. And if he had passed it to Pádraig Joyce that day, Galway would have won the 2000 All-Ireland. Those are my memories.
It was a close one, that year went to a replay.
That's right, and I figure we lost that one unluckily. But however, 21 years is a long time. There was a song out there one time, 21 years is a long time. Another song of it seems, as they say, what's rare or seldom is wonderful. And I believe Inda, listening to him this morning, he's getting a little bit extra cautious about the outcome of Sunday's game, even though he thinks they'll win by 4 or 5 points in the finish. So I'll be very close to him on Sunday, because I'm a Kerry season ticket holder.
Oh my God, you're not serious.
So I did, yeah. I knew Kerry would be there or thereabouts. I wasn't too sure about Galway, but the progress they've made, I've been very impressed by the way they've come along over the last couple of matches. They've won two matches in Croke Park. This will be my fourth visit to Croke Park this year, because I went to the Galway Derry game on the Saturday, and I waited overnight in Dublin and joined the Kerry supporters for that wonderful defeat of Dublin. And I have to say, I have a granddaughter, Amy. Now, if my wife was alive, David Clifford would be a favourite player, but my granddaughter and my godchild, Amy, she has a fierce soft spot for Shawnee O'Shea, long before he planted that wonderful free to defeat the Dubs.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. You were mentioned there, Cathal, about coming to Kerry in 66, and I suppose that was a kind of a glorious era for Galway football, wasn't it? That kind of formed, I suppose, your opinions on them and the players that you had back then and the success that you had back then.
Oh yeah, wonderful team. And you know, Galway always won in All-Ireland when there was a Dunmore clubman in the team. Now our goalie is from Dunmore. We had the Donlans and the Keenans back in the day. They were from Dunmore as well. And of course, back in the day we had the great Matty McDonagh, who won four All-Ireland medals. He's the only Connacht man with four All-Ireland medals. He was only 19 in 1956 when Galway won with the terrible twins, Frank Stockwell and Sean Purcell. I am privileged to have seen these people playing, albeit when I was a small little boy in Galway.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And what do you make of that? He reckons you're getting more nervous the closer it gets to the game.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep him close to me for the next few days anyway. You know, we'll keep him going, and sure, one of us will be happy Sunday evening anyway. We'll see. But not trying to lure him into a false sense, but I have to remember what side my bread is buttered on sometimes.
That's true. Listen, it's going to be huge. It's a great occasion. And look, Carl, I suppose it, either way, what you look at it, you never know what kind of a game it's going to be. But the thoughts are that it as much as it can be in the era of possession football, it should be an open enough football game, because the philosophy of both teams would tend to be more attack than defence based.
That's true, and they both play a similar type of football and get the ball into the forwards as quick as possible. And I know Kerry have lethal forwards, but we too, we have marquee players, as they say, like who's going to handle Damien Comer, that man who set the place alight against Derry with the wonderful goal that he's got, the two goals that he got, and albeit no, we didn't score a whole lot of points that day, but it was that type of a game. It was a dour. It wasn't a great game of football, in all fairness, now I'd have to say, but I think the way Galway played in the second half when they opened up, especially after being robbed by Hawkeye in the first half, and I'm glad that was rectified, because it would be terrible if a team lost by a point with circumstances such as what happened with Hawkeye on that occasion.
Yeah. Look, it worked all right for the All-Ireland hurling final. Hope it'll work for the football final now on Sunday. And I'm going to get a final word to you. What sort of a game do you think we're going to get? Like, Patrick Joyce would be someone who played a brand of open football, I suppose. Is that the way it's going to go on Sunday, do you think?
I don't know. I think Galway will be worried about Kerry's forward, so they may maybe adapt maybe a slightly defensive approach. So you might have spells of the game where it might be a bit slow, you know, there might be a bit of hand passing, a bit of probing, you know. Or look, I could be all wrong, it could be a wide open game, but I do think Galway will be worried about the Kerry forwards, and that they may just play a slight bit defensive. But I do think it'll be a nice clean game. I don't think there's any kind of animosity between the teams, so it should be a nice open game football maybe. But regardless of the style of football, I'd still expect Kerry to win. All right.
Yeah. Well, listen, look, gentlemen, my thanks to both of you. Enjoy the weekend, enjoy the build-up, and enjoy the game. And I know you'll still be talking to each other around 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, whatever happens.
Well, I need to drive home after, Jerry, so...
And, Jerry, I have a son in Dublin with two grandchildren, and my grandson was offered the Dublin jersey, and he threw it in the bin. He says, I'm supporting Kerry.
Fair play to him. That's what we like to hear. Great stuff, guys.
So, it's 7-1 in my household. So the bookies are given 3-1, but it's 7-1 in my household.
7-1 in the
watch house. I love being an underdog, because underdogs sometimes overperform, and that's what I'm expecting on Sunday.
We're hoping not here in Radio Kerry, but still, Carl, enjoy it anyway. And thanks, lads, for talking to us in the programme this morning. You've been good crack.
All the best. Thanks very much, Jerry. Bye-bye.
Great stuff. There you go. That's Cahill and Enda Walsh there. Divided loyalties in that household ahead of the All-Ireland. And that's a great story. Dublin jerseys in the bin. That's what we like to hear here on Radio Kerry. You're listening to Kerry Today, coming to you live from the Stables Bar in Brasserie, the Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. And if you have a view for us on the game or anything else, get in touch with us on the programme on 066-7123-666. A couple of people getting in touch in relation to post offices and banks. Caller says his local post office in Ballymullen Tralee been closed for the past 3 months now with the loss of 4 jobs. It's a great loss to the area, particularly for the elderly who need to draw down pension payments as they're not able to use the online services. And that's a side of the thing as well that is coming into focus. Another caller in reference to bank closures says the lives of elderly in particular are being put at risk as they'll be inclined to withdraw larger sums in cash from post offices to avoid the hassle of travel, particularly if they live in a rural area without regular transport services. And that is part of the reason why there has been such a strong reaction against this move by Allied Irish Banks over the last number of days. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. Any more thoughts on the game or anything else, or on Kerry Colours, get your messages into us on the programme. We want to hear from you. That and more, lots more to come on Kerry Today. Keep your views and opinions coming into us on the show. We'll get to that and more after we take these.
Kerry Today All-Ireland Special, live from the new Stables, Brasserie and Bar at Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. The ideal spot for any occasion, with casual dining, a terrace and big screen TV. SheenFallsLodge.ie.
Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us on the show. Listeners, there's a lot of hosts in Shankill have been bunting and flags flying for our Kerry teams. Hype is great in the estate, come on the kingdom. Good morning, Jerry. I heard you ask your listeners what we think AIB should do to lift our spirits again this morning. God bless the Kerry team for keeping our spirits up in anticipation of the All-Ireland Final Sunday. We're doing all in our power to save South Kerry, etc., the South Kerry Greenway. The queue of people at the AIB bank link in Carrigsabeen has to be taken into account. I smile when I hear him post suggested to save the day. When all fruits fail, banks welcome Hawes, post office, says Agnes. Well, hopefully the Unpost can rise to the occasion. Hopefully the bank can be convinced into not withdrawing cash from places like Carrigsabeen, because it does add hugely to the expense and cost and distance for people to travel if they want to do cash services. That's if the post office isn't available or isn't right for a particular person. Best wishes to all in Kenmare. Best of luck to Kerry on Sunday. My nerves are starting to tingle already. Hopefully Kerry can bring Sam home. But don't underestimate Galway. They'll be tough to beat, says Charles. Jerry, public service card 800 number, 1-800 number no longer works. Expiration date is past, and now what is one to do when there's no way to ring them and not computer savvy, says a Killarney listener. Well, they should certainly be. And that is one of the themes that's coming forward here from a lot of people across private and public services. The inability of people to get through on phone lines to talk to somebody about your issues is something that definitely needs to be addressed by certainly government services, but also private companies and banks as well. I got an email from AIB, says another listener this morning, explaining the changes. One thing was, in order to pay a credit card bill at the post office, you need a barcoded slip, which you could get at your local AIB branch. I went to my branch, they hadn't a clue what I was on about. This whole process is a shambles. And Jerry, hi Jerry, Kerry is a well-oiled machine for the last 3 to 4 years. Galway are under massive pressure to perform. I predict Kerry will win this match. Our time has come, says Sean in Killarney. Well, look, hopefully that will be the case, but I don't think anyone is underestimating the challenge for Galway, and it could come down to the wire. With me on the line to talk about it now and take a look ahead to what might happen on Sunday afternoon in Croke Park is former All-Ireland winner Killian Burns, and also former Ireland winner, of course, with Kerry, Sean O'Sullivan. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning, Jerry. Morning, Killian.
Killian, let's start with you on this one. Listen, look, there's a lot of talk of 1997 and 25 years. I want to talk, though, I suppose, about the year 2000 and the year 2001. Kerry beating out Galway back then. 2001, Kerry were destroyed in the semi-final by Meath. Meath highly fancied coming to the final. Galway come in and beat them handily on the All-Ireland final day. Is there a lesson there for us in that one?
Well, I suppose from a Galway point of view, they're going to be look an All-Ireland final. I mean, both teams are going to be well-oiled machines, super fit, strong, ready from a physical point of view. So All-Ireland final, they're mostly about psychology, aren't they? And I suppose from a Galway point of view, they're going to be looking at what can they kind of bring. The management obviously has player experience of winning an All-Ireland, so they're going to bring a bit of that to try and settle the players. And I don't know if they're going to go over all of the history, but certainly when you talk about 2001, I think they won that game by, they won the All-Ireland finals by 8 or 9 points, which was incredible really, and probably unexpected. So they can take that little bit of underdog tag that they definitely have for this final and use maybe that history in some way to motivate them. But I think there's probably more question marks over Galway really. I think we're bringing our own hunger to it, you know. Like, let's not forget that a lot of these lads that are lining out on Sunday lost an All-Ireland final only a few years ago, and maybe one that we should have won it really, and we had our chances. So they're going to be looking at that selfishly and going, as players, Jesus, we left one behind, let's not leave this one behind, you know. So, and of course, we're going to be bringing an awful lot of experience in, there's still three or four lads that have an All-Ireland final, so they'll have that positive experience. And then of course you have Jack. The Jack factor is just I don't know, he just has that Midas touch, doesn't he, and that kind of prevails throughout any team that he's involved with.
Yeah, and Sean, that's a good point that Killian makes about Jack O'Connor, I suppose. His third time round into an All-Ireland final. What is it about, I suppose, the way he does things with players in particular? Call it maybe instilling belief or getting him to go the extra mile, or, you know, getting the heads right for these key games to get to another All-Ireland final.
Yeah, Killian made a great point there about the experience we have, and he touched on Jack. Jerry, Jack has what every top-level manager in any sport across the spectrum needs, and that's ruthlessness. And it comes to the fore, the bigger the game it is. And you know, he Jack has no problem in, you know, just demanding the best out of whatever group he has. And it's no coincidence that he's back, you know, again in his third stint as a Kerry manager, because he just knows what it takes to get over the line and to win All Ireland. And to do that, you just need to be ruthless as a manager. Of course, you know, Jurgen Klopp has the famous saying is, "I want to be the player's friend, but not their best friend." Jack is a very good man manager, and of course, he has those great relationships with the players. I saw Tadhg Morley talking during the week about how he has a very good relationship with Jack from the start of the year. Jack drove around the county talking to players and getting these players on board and into the same mindset as himself. And but at the same time, he's just steely. You know, he goes with the players that are on form. He's a real believer in, if you're playing well in training, if you're playing well in challenge games, then you're going to get your crack, regardless of whether you played in the last game or what you've done in the past. And he's just getting the best out of these guys at the moment. And, you know, again, Killian made a great point about, yes, we lost in All-Ireland a couple of years ago, and we've got to bring that to the table. But it's the experience of Jack, Dermot Murphy, Mike Quirk has been involved in All-Ireland winning teams, and those guys then, like David Moore and Paul Gainey, these guys, Paul Murphy, even though Paul isn't starting, he's still a great guy in around the group, that can just, you know, talk to the younger fellas, especially the guys playing in their first All-Ireland final, and help them this week in particular. But I have no fear that Jack and his management team and those experienced players will be doing that.
Killian, what do you see as the major threats from Galway? A lot of focus, obviously, on Damien Comer, on Shane Walsh. But, look, they have a strong midfield. Their defence performed particularly well, I suppose, against Derry in what was a hugely defensive game.
I think there's obviously a couple of their star forwards, but then you look at the other corner forward, Robert Finnerty, who didn't score the last day, but has about 13 or 14 points racked up in the overall championship. So, like, to him, we'll say, "Jesus, I want to be performing much better. You know, I've had a good season. I didn't perform well against Derry, and I want to do it now in the All-Ireland final." So there's a few threats they're going to have to look at. And Paul Conroy at midfield is an old dog for the long road too, and can score points as well. And he's, I suppose, in the backs. Like, the thing about, like, maybe Joyce, I suppose, maybe was a little bit naive when he started out in this journey with Galway. And well, number one, he said, "I want to win an All-Ireland," you know, which was a very brave statement to make. And then I think number two, he probably brought in the old style of Galway traditional football, but I think he soon realised that that is not the modern game, and you won't win that way. And I hope people won't be disappointed, but I have a feeling, now we all know that Kerry has really shored up things in defence, and we know that Galway bring men behind the ball, and I think might be a little bit of cat and mouse at the start. Like, I mean, look, ultimately, if they're to win this game, they have to close down the threat of Sean O'Shea and others, you know, sending lovely ball into the likes of David Clifford and Gainey. And if they can manage to do that, and then obviously then have whether it's Sean Kelly at fullback taking on David Clifford, he has to have some support there as well. So I think they're going to shore things up as much as they can. If they get a good start, they're going to have to take a couple of chances, obviously, because I think they'll have to score goals if they want to beat Kerry. So, I mean, they'll be probably playing a cagey game at the start and try not to leak too many scores. And as I said, you have some of their forwards now that are scoring at will. Like, and I think there's
they're going to have goal on their mind because they'll need to if they want to be Kerry.
Yeah, yeah. And with that in mind, from Kerry point of view, Sean, if and there's talk about Galway, which they've been doing all year, is the high press on the goalkeeper to put pressure in relation to that. Will that leave them vulnerable if Kerry do go long, win clean ball in midfield, to send it in early? Because that's the time when, I suppose, you're more open when you're up the field trying to tack the kick out. If Kerry get it away, that could give opportunities to our forwards.
Absolutely, yeah, and of course Kerry will have looked at that. They would have done their video analysis on Galway. Yeah, Galway do tend, they like to go after the opposition kick out, particularly if they've just killed the ball or got a score, and maybe they've, you know, they've got a one or two scores in a row and they want to really push up and keep the foot down to the, or keep the pedal down to the floor. But yeah, Kerry will have looked at that. And on the flip side of that too, Gerry, Shane Ryan deserves an awful lot of credit, and the Kerry defenders down the stretch against Dublin, when Dublin were doing that to us and the game was in the balance. I thought Shane Ryan showed real bravery and real cajones to get the ball out to the likes of Breen O'Big, Leo, Tom Sullivan. These fellas showed, and they broke out, they broke the lines, and that showed a real we talk about this Kerry team maturing. I was listening to Mickey Ned earlier about the team going through their growth stage. That's a growth stage for me. That's Kerry, a Kerry team maybe 3-4 years ago might have just, Shane might have just kicked that ball out long hoping for the best. They didn't, they stuck to their processes, the word Jim Gavin always used with that great Dublin team, and they just went with it and they stuck to their guns and they got out and they got the ball up the field to win their free for Shawnee to kick that amazing winner.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yes, absolutely, Galway will press at times, and we have to be mindful that if we can get out over the top space and side in, but also that to back ourselves and get the ball out through the lines as well, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. Guys, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to both of you for taking the time to talk to us ahead of this weekend's encounter. Yes, Sean?
Jerry, sorry, before you go, I just want to, if I may, if you've just 1 second, obviously we're all very excited around the county about the weekend, and it's great that Kerry are in All-Ireland final and everyone is enjoying themselves, but we've had a difficult week here in Cremorne. A local fisherman, Brendan Tehan, unfortunately died tragically last Sunday evening, and Brendan would have been a huge part of our community in terms of rowing and fishing was his number one passion, but he was also a great Cremorne clubman. Would have played with teams back when we just went earlier in back in the early 80s and 90s when we formed. And Brendan is going to his eternal rest place this morning, Jerry, and I just want to send out our deepest condolences to the Tehan family and everyone in Cremorne. It's been a difficult week to get excited for an All-Ireland final here, but I'm sure once we give Brendan the send-off he deserves today, then our focus will turn to the Kerry team on Sunday. But I just wanted to send our condolences to the whole Tehan family here in Cremorne, Jerry.
Yeah, okay. Well said, Sean, and thanks so much for talking to us in the programme this morning. That's Sean O'Sullivan there and Killian Burns giving their view on what will be playing out on Croke Park on Sunday afternoon. We're live here in the Stables Bar and Brasserie in the Sheen Falls Lodge Hotel in Kilmare. We'll have more, including hearing from Temple Noh after we take these.
Kerry Today All-Ireland Special, live from the new Stables Brasserie and Bar at Sheen Falls Lodge in Kenmare. The ideal spot for any occasion, with casual dining, a terrace and big screen TV. SheenFallsLodge.ie.
Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us on the programme. We're live from the Stables Brasserie and Bar in the Sheen Falls Lodge Hotel in Kenmare for a special Kerry Today programme, of course, heading into the All-Ireland Football Final, and one of the clubs that has a huge involvement in this Kerry setup and Kerry team has done for the last number of years is Temple Noh GA Club, and delighted to be joined by Temple Noh Chairman Pat O'Neill. We also have Assistant Treasurer of the club, Tommy Granville, and we've from Inverskeena Gael, the ladies club in the region, Chairperson Betty Crimmin. Good morning to all of you, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's a huge weekend to look forward to. Pat, I'll start with you. Look, tell me about the last, I suppose, 10 to 15 years in Temple Noh, where the club has come from, and what the excitement is like, I suppose, watching these young players grow up and this generation of players come through for you.
Thanks, Terry. Well, I suppose the last 10 to 15 years has been a roller coaster. I mean, you go back 15 years ago, we were struggling as a junior club down in probably Division 5. Then probably in Division... this all started probably around 2008. We won Bourne Nord Club of the Year in Kerry. And actually, I was only looking at it last night. We did actually a calendar in 2009. And we had a team pretty much for every month of the year. We had under-8s up to under-18s and the senior team, obviously. And I was just looking for the boys that are taking the field tomorrow and the next day, the four of them, and you know, you had Killian down on the 12s, on the 14s, and then you had Gavin and Adrian on the under 16 team, and then you had Tyke and the minors, and you had all the rest of them. So, I mean, we made a general progression then from division. We came from Division 5, obviously, up to Division 1, the County League. We won the All-Ireland Junior Football Championship in 2016. And these guys were obviously coming all along as well with a bunch of other guys. We won a lot of juvenile competitions, underage competitions, and obviously, you know, there was great competition for places. And these guys were then started getting on the Kerry team. Obviously, Tyke had been there probably a bit before the other three, but they've all had their day there. And you know, on Sunday, you know, you have the four of them there. Probably they won't be all on the team, but I have no doubt if any one of the four of them, the four of them were on the Kerry team on Sunday, we'd have no fear of any one of them. They're well capable of holding their own.
Not only V4 on the Kerry panel, you're also feeding other inter-county clubs, other inter-county teams across the country.
That's it. Last year, we unfortunately lost our captain. We lost another man to Dublin. He's now playing with Sligo and Fair Dues to him. And
Teddy Lyon.
So we have Teddy was our captain. Obviously, he got married and he's gone to Tipperary. Travelling his problem, but he obviously now is playing with Tipperary. So we're feeding the country with inter-county footballers, not just club footballers. So we're a supplier. We have about, I mean, the population of Tipperary is basically about 780 people. We have 100 members. We have about something less than 30 senior footballers. You know, the achievement of Temple Law is mind-boggling, really.
It doesn't happen on its own, Pat. It's the work that goes on. It's obviously, look, you get generational talent coming through, but you have to mature that talent, work with it, develop it, and that's been happening.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the thing. Like, that in 2019, we had all those teams. When you have all those teams, you have to have all the coaches to coach them, and we had them in Temple Law, and even this year with our senior team, we don't have an outside coach. We have Paul Crowley, Mike Crowley, and Patrick Manny in charge of the senior team. We're playing in the Sound. We'll be out 2 Sundays after the All-Ireland final against Austin Stacks and the week after against the Crokes at Riley's. So these guys can celebrate a bit, but I tell you,
you'll have them back in straight away.
Other guys. But I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, we're delighted. And these guys won't be complaining either. They'd be delighted to come back and play with Tipperary. I know they're only busting to play with Tipperary. Yeah. They're delighted to play with Kerry, but their true ambition, of course, like all club players, they love playing with that club, and especially with Tipperary. We're one of the 8 best clubs in Kerry. I mean, I have to pinch myself when I see these draws coming out, and we're there with Kenmare Shamrocks and Fernison, but the Crokes and the Stacks and the Rannies, you know,
the marquee clubs, the big population areas.
You know, they're the pick out club, and I mean, you know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant to be chairman of the club in these times, because it's historic times at Temple Law.
It certainly is. Betty, I'll come to you next. Tell me about Inverskeena Gaels, drawing from all the areas, well, and all the clubs in the area. You've been on a massive progression. You've Julie O'Sullivan in the All Ireland next weekend, Kerry Ladies on the up as well. But what's it been like for the last 10 years, really?
The last 10 years with ISG have been fantastic. Over the last number of years, our numbers have just gone up and up. This year, for example, now with the under 12s, we have over 50 players. Like, that's astronomical. Now, a little bit of that would be the girls. Some of the girls in the local clubs can play with the boys up to under 11, but under 12, they're out until the East Kerry League, they can play with the boys. But it's fantastic. So that's under 12s, under 10 this year. We've over 40 them. We've huge numbers. We never had these numbers before. 2 years ago was the first year of our under 10s, and it's just been fantastic. And we've gone to under 8s now as well. So we have under 8s, under 10s, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s. And again, 2 years ago, we put in our first under 18 team, and we're just absolutely thrilled with it. And in most age groups, we actually have 2 teams. So the numbers are just getting bigger and bigger, and we're catering for all children, all girls of all abilities, you know, with A teams and B teams, and we're trying to provide a home for football for every girl in the parish, every parish around the area. We also have our coaches are fantastic, and we have our coach, one of our coaches, Lisa Crimmon. She coaches for ISG. She's our treasurer, she's our registrar, and she also coaches for Temple No. So the women in the area are doing huge things as well for the men's football as well as the ladies' football. I myself coached the local GA in Kilgarvan from the ages of under 8 to under 12. I did a few years with them and then moved on to ISG. And we're doing huge things. We're providing as much, I would like to think, For the men's as for the women's,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, which is it's vitally important. If you're going to have successful setup, you need men and women involved. Those ideas, that work, those countless hours of volunteerism as well. Speaking of that, Betty, you're looking to develop, I know you're fundraising at the moment for facilities.
Yeah, we are indeed. We are really trying to get our own pitch. We are very, very dependent on the local clubs to give us their fields as such to play our football in. And they've been fantastic. Templeknowe have been absolutely wonderful to us, and we're thrilled and delighted. And I'd like to thank Pat for being so wonderful to us this year and every other year. You know, they've been brilliant. Hopefully down the road we can, there's a school pitch that is available to us and it's wonderful, and we're trying to develop it into a full size pitch with full facilities. At the moment we do play football on it, but there is no facilities there, there's no dressing rooms and there's no toilets, again, so we're at the benefit of Super Value, and they do provide a toilet for us and they're fantastic to us also. It's support and fundraising and sponsorship. But yeah, hopefully it's our 5-year plan. Hopefully it'll be less than 5 years, because it's an awful lot of funding. You need an awful lot of money. And of course, everyone's well aware of the cost of living and the cost of building and everything gone way up. But we have a plan in, and we have a plan in
place.
Going ahead in place. Yeah. And hopefully now in the near future, we'll be opening a new pitch in Kenmare and with great facilities for our girls, because they deserve it. Our girls are absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
And we have the likes of Julie O'Sullivan leading the way. She's absolutely fantastic. She's been playing with the senior ladies for Kerry now since she was 17. She's a great ambassador. She comes in, she helps with training for the underage teams also. She helps out at the under 12s. She's brilliant. She's been on the Kerry setup since she was under 16. She's got an All-Ireland medal already.
Yes.
She was on the under-16 group that won the All-Ireland way back when. So she's doing fantastic things already. She's been playing with ISG since she was 13. And she's, again, an example of one of those girls who supported the GAA, because she played up till under 12 with two cyst GAA.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
Absolutely. And it really helps in the men's for all the local clubs. Like, they wouldn't have the numbers without the girls up to under 12. And it's absolutely fantastic to play for your own team, for your locality, and to be a girl playing in that team as well, because it just stands to them. It makes them a better footballer. It makes them tough, and they take no nonsense out of the boys as
No, that always helps. It always helps. Tommy Granville, let me come to you next. Look, you grew up with a lot of lads who were lining out at the weekend. Look, what have you seen, I suppose? What was it that made Templeknowe come from where they were to where they are now?
I think Jerry was obvious maybe 15 years ago or so that we had a special group of young players coming up. And when I was playing, we spent 10 or 11 or 12 years in Division 5. And when the new crop of players came up, let's call them that, they went from Division 5 all the way to Division 1, I think in 6 years, or maybe 7 years. And at underage level and at senior level, they've won competitions left, right and centre. And to all of us, we knew we'd a special bunch, and they were well coached, and they're good lads, no airs and graces, no egos. And we'd be just delighted if they could win the game on Sunday, and to be a great August and July in Kenmare.
Yeah, it certainly would. It takes a lot of work time, Tommy, finally. There's a lot of treasurers, assistant treasurers, there's backroom teams, there's volunteers that go into making, I suppose, throughout Kerry, Sunday possible.
Yeah, look, there's huge work in the background, coaches, officers. I'm not going to start naming people because I'll leave someone out, but like in every club, huge work is done. And, you know, to see them all lining out in Croke Park on Sunday, like, it's just fantastic. And, you know, as Pat said, sometimes you've got to pinch yourself, like, you know, to see four Templeknowe players on the programme Sunday, and all superb footballers, and Sean, Ian, Stephen, Kamir, and Dolan, Kilgarvan. You know, special times for Kamir District.
Yeah, certainly is. Well, look, we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for talking to us this morning. Good luck at the weekend, and good luck with the club action as the year goes on, both for Enniskillen Gaels and Templeknowe. My thanks to Pat O'Neill, Tommy Granville and Betty Cremin. Give us your reviews. We'll have more from here, the Stables Bar and Brasserie, next. Yeah, great to hear Kinmare Shamrocks and Temple Lowe club legends talking proudly about our six players on Sunday. Fantastic programme, Jerry. That's coming from Timmy Clifford in Temple Lowe. And the many comments coming to us here. I've got two people I want to talk to next, though, because if Scott Andrews, who's the manager of the Sheen Falls Lodge. Scott, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us in the programme this morning. It's a fantastic setup here in the stables, Brasserie and Bar. It's an amazing setup. Only recently opened. Tell me a bit about its development and the wider progression of the hotel in the last few years.
Yes. Good morning and welcome. Thank you. It's lovely to have you here at the stables. So the stables bar and brasserie is a new addition. So it's offering a more relaxed dining feel, but still the quality of Sheen Falls. We've got a lovely restaurant and separate bar as well. New building converted from the original horse stables here. So it's a great place to come, sit and have a drink in the bar. We've got a big screen TV, so you can, you know, watch the game, watch the sport, which is lovely. And then the restaurant itself, so really nice area, great menu, brasserie favourites, grilled steaks and so forth. So really good addition.
So for the last couple of years, the hotel has been under a lot of development. It's been on a bit of a journey, I suppose you could call it that.
Absolutely. The owners, obviously, with the pandemic, weren't able to come for a couple of years. So they've come back now that they're able to travel. And, you know, the investment is key for them. And, you know, raising the standards across the board. So you'll see the addition of the stables. We've converted and refurbished the boathouse as a great place for wedding ceremonies, activities, and that overlooks the water. So, you know, that they've just kind of started really with the investment in,
and it's a key part of Kinmare. Like, it's a big employer, big economic engine for the town.
Yeah, so we currently employ 135 members of staff, we're a big employer, and you know it's very important for us, you know, that we integrate our team into the community and, you know, get behind the local businesses and so forth. So yeah, it's a really, really important to be part of the community for us.
When you look at that, how is the season going? I suppose a lot of focus on how it will go coming out of the pandemic.
The season's going great, you know, with travel opening up. You know, there's a few disruptions with, you know, the flights in and out and the odd, but we don't talk about that. But, you know, no, it's going very, very well. You know, the hotel's seeing great occupancy, which is good. It's not only good for us, but, you know, we encourage all of our international travellers to get down into the town, you know, support the local businesses and, you know, activities. And, you know, that's really key for us. We really promote that.
Brilliant stuff. Well, listen, look, Scott, thanks so much for talking to us. You've been very welcome this morning, and we'll be here again, no doubt.
Absolute pleasure to have you here.
Great stuff. Thanks a million. That's Scott Andrews there, the Sheen Falls Lodge manager. If you have a view for us on it, get in touch with us on the programme. And delighted now to round out the programme, we're going to hear a little bit of a poem. This is Karen O'Mahony, a good Kinmare woman, well integrated in Temple Now. Karen, you've a poem called Green and Gold. Take it away.
Thanks, Jerry. Crowley, Morley, Two Spillanes, O'Brien and O'Shea will fight side by side on Croker's Grass, if only for a day. These six young men from different sides, much for both clubs they've done, but united now on Sunday, their hearts will beat for one. And when ye leave to sink the tribes, the wind to leave their sail, know we stand behind you as strong as any gale. And as you reach the county bounds and leave behind Nadeen, see the colours have briefly changed for it's golden splashed on green. And as the coach gets closer, you'll see flags of maroon hue. Here's a little small reminder of the support that's there for you. Raise your eyes to every tree that's standing tall and bold, for when autumn comes, their fading leaves are a little green with gold.
Fantastic, Karen. That was brilliant. That's great stuff. That's Karen O'Mahony there with us, coming into us from the Stables Bar and Brasserie here in Sheen Falls Lodge, where we've been for the morning. My thanks to the team that put show together. Trevor Galvin helped us out on sound. Tracy Murphy produced the programme, and Dave and Mary back in base in Tralee. Stay tuned. Right across today, it's Kerry Colours there here in Riddle Kerry, 6 to 8 tonight, All Ireland Special Preview programme with Tim Moynihan from the Backstage Bar in the INEC in Killarney. We'll talk to you. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday morning with another Kerry Today. Stay tuned for Francis and the 11 to 1 Club.